Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right. Welcome, White Sox fans. We're super excited to host our first ever Ladies Night podcast. And we are just, we're super stoked, and we just have some fabulous people here, my Southside Sox sisters. It's really cool because we have such a wide representation of like ages and how long we've been involved with baseball and things like that. So I think there's really going to be something for everyone. So we're super excited. So I'm just going to start by letting everybody introduce themselves, and then we'll dive right into our content. So I'm going to start with Jackie.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jackie. I've been writing with Southside Sox for a few years now. I've been a White Sox fan my whole life. Gosh, I don't know what else to say. I'm glad that everybody's here. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Do you have a fun fact, Jackie?
Oh, a fun fact about myself, a sports fact. So I played fast pitch softball for most of my life. My fun fact, I'm trying to think of something I haven't shared before. The only thing I can think of is I was invited to an invitational to tryout almost, like where you just, there's a bunch of girls that go down and play for Notre Dame. So Notre Dame sent me an invitation, and that was like a big deal to me.
That's a huge deal. That's awesome.
I didn't get in. Are you kidding? but it was an honor just to be invited. And my dad was really excited. We made it like a whole day and went down. It was cute.
That's
cool. Yeah. All right, Allie.
Hello. I have only been with Southside Sox for 1 year? Well, almost two actually now, I guess. 2 years in August. I am now a 11th Ward Bridgeport resident, which is great. I love being, well, you know, love is a contentious word when it comes to this team, but being in the neighborhood is really nice. I've been a White Sox fan for most of my life. I guess my fun fact is that my mother is the one that got me into like softball and baseball, and she is a diehard Cubs fan. So we love her, Sandy, but she chose the north side.
She's on the wrong side of town.
Yes, she is, but no, she is the reason that I played and loved playing and now love the sport along with my grandparents. But
did she play, Allie? Did your mom play?
My mom actually, my mom played. So my mom and I actually went to the same high school and played like for the same team.
I love that. That is cute.
The woman who used to do the announcing at my varsity games was actually her high school softball coach. Yeah.
No way. Yeah.
And then she played Division I softball at St. Louis University. So
wow, look at her. That's awesome. You have it in your genes.
That is impressive.
Down and she was
and she was a physical therapy student at the time too. So she was playing D1 softball on a regular schedule. Crazy. So yeah.
Wow. Impressive.
Super impressive. Yeah.
Pitcher and catcher duo.
Yeah.
All right.
I gave up, dear mom, playing D1 and being like, let's go. We're doing like a degree and everything. Like during college, mm-hmm. when I remember being like, I'm like so glad sometimes that I decided not to play. But then like now, of course, I look back and I'm like, nah, that would have been so fun if I did. But my God, it'd be so exhausting. Like, I don't know how she did it.
Yeah.
I played 1 year of D3, which is supposed to be like the more like low key, like, you know.
No, they're competitive. I almost played D3. Yeah.
But it was,
I played D2.
I had to quit after my first year because I was like a biology major. And I was like, I can't do this with my course load. So I had to dip out.
I also dropped out, but it was because I was a poor student. And if no one was going to make me go to class, I was not going to go to class. So that didn't work out. And now I'm an old, and I'm like, what I wouldn't give to go back and play for like one more day.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I saw your video. So, you were slinging it there.
The three of you, Allie, Tina, Hannah, do not waste your youth. No. Get out there, go play.
Preach.
Let's go.
Sorry we cut you off, Hannah.
No, you're good. Hannah. I was gonna let you guys converse. My name is Hannah. I have been with Southside Sox since I think 2020. I was 19. I'm almost 23. So I started writing for them as a teenager, which was kind of crazy because I didn't really know what to do, what I was doing. It was totally fun, but it was cool because I was like, I'm a kid. I feel like a kid, but here I am with doing this. It was really fun. Fun fact. I mean, I feel like I've talked about it before, but I played softball, but then I actually played baseball as well for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. It was definitely an experience because I did get like made fun of and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I am glad that I did it. And, you know, it was really fun. And I remember when people would make fun of me, like the pitcher one time, like I told the story, he pitched slowly to me on purpose and I just whacked it out to right field. Cause I was like,
good for you.
I'm not
good for you, Hannah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I was the only girl in the entire like league, not even only my team, but just the entire league. I was like 14. So I was like coming from my volleyball practice, going to baseball practice, going to softball practice. It was just a lot, but yeah, I think I've always had the love of baseball, even though I did play softball as well. I always had that love for baseball specifically. So yeah, that's why I'm here.
That's so cool. You played baseball?
Like, yeah, it was kind of crazy. It was like a weird time too, where I was getting older. So it wasn't like these were real pitchers, really good pitchers and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is intense. Like I didn't expect it to be that intense, but yeah, it was good for the most part. I'm really glad that I did that. I felt really cool. I'm not going to lie. When I was like like a freshman in high school and like I would post something in my baseball uniform and I was like, yep, that's right. I play baseball.
That's like, I'm a badass. Remember.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome. Okay. Well, I'm Les. So I'm Christina or Tina. Most people call me Tina. Using my government name on my article. So my here as well. I've been writing for Southside Sox for a little more than 2 years. I think I started at the beginning of 2021 season, or 2022 season. I don't know what year it is anymore. So it's been really great. I love it. I've met so many awesome ladies like you and a lot of other awesome writers. And I'm with Hannah. Like, I had no idea what I was doing when Brett asked me to write. He was like, I've seen a bunch of your tweets. Like, I feel like you'd be good. And I was like, what about my tweets tell you that I'd be good at writing with good grammar? Like,
are the articles 140 characters or less? Because I can do
exactly.
That.
Exactly. I'm in it.
Right.
He's like, no, I know you could do it. And like, here I am. I write all the time. But it's funny how that happens as well. My fun fact, I'm trying to think. I was going back to when I was like in my youth and my playing days. We went to Nationals when I was like 15. I think I was 15, and I played on it was like our 16U team or whatever it was. And I ended up getting MVP of Nationals. We got third place. So that was really cool.
Ladies, man, totally kicking some ass.
So that was like really random, but it was. And I like so miss playing. Oh my gosh! Like me and Al play on a slow pitch team, and I was injured for like the rest of last year. So I'm like so pumped to get back, and like even though my arm will hurt for the entire next 7 months. but yeah, slinging so it. I'm excited to be here.
Yes.
I was like, are you excited to be here, MSB?
Yeah, my puppy is finding everything. And he's I hear him in the back like chewing and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, so So I'm Melissa. I'm the elder statesman here, I guess. And I am the only one who didn't play. I danced for y'all.
Sport. That's awesome.
I know. I couldn't even, girls, I couldn't even play softball, like gym softball. Like it was bad. Like no hand-eye coordination, but I still loved it from a young age, just like most of you. It was in my family and I had no choice. And I think I was like 11 or 12 when I went to my first game. And then like after that, I was like, oh my gosh, I can never not have this in my life. This is the coolest thing ever. And of course it was at Old Comiskey Park, which is even better. And so, and my fun fact is that when my son was in the hospital, he was born premature. So he was in the NICU, and he was actually pretty sick. He's totally fine now. So spoiler alert, he's great, healthy, wonderful, whatever. But he actually got really sick, and like we got a phone call really early in the morning that we had to come to the hospital. And so it was 2006, like right after they had won the World Series. It was February. I throw on my World Series sweatshirt and we rush to the hospital, and we're on our like on our way down the elevator, and I come out of the elevator and they're like, oh my God, we have a Sox fan. And it was the trophy. Like the trophy was like making its way around the hospital because we have a children's hospital in Peoria. And so they plopped it on my lap because I was in a wheelchair still because I'd given birth like 5 days earlier or whatever. They plopped it in my lap. So I'm like holding it. There's all these people taking pictures. They got me a picture. So I looked terrible because again, it's like super early in the morning, like no makeup, whatever. I looked terrible in the picture. And then like Sage turned, like within like half a day, Sage like turned a corner, like did amazing. So my family was like, it was meant to be, like, aww, you know, that wouldn't have happened. So that's my
story. It doesn't get better than the World Series trophy being plopped on your lap, literally. So I think that's pretty cool.
It was like a whirlwind. It all happened within probably like 3 minutes or something. And I was just like, what just happened? So
was it heavy? I have to know.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It was, I was like, I just gave birth, people. Yes. It was really, really heavy.
Yeah. It looks like it. Those are the things I'm thinking.
All right. Well, let's just kind of like dive in here and talk about like what are we hoping for this podcast? Like we're busy people. We have jobs. We have, some of us have kids. We have pets. I mean, we have stuff. So what about doing this podcast? Like why make time for it? And what do you see as the benefit of having it? Just anybody jump in.
So what I hope from this podcast is that other women who are interested in doing what we do at Southside Sox will see it and feel emboldened to do it themselves. And I say that because that's what made me come to Southside Sox, because there was a podcast full of women and I was like, hell yeah, I can do that. I can do that too. So I want women to be, you know, free and open, and I just want to encourage them to get out there and do it. You belong here. Let's go.
Yeah, I agree. I think that by doing that, it kind of just shows that there are other people out there that, you know, are doing it. And I feel like when I was joining Southside Sox as well, especially as a teenager, that's the first thing I noticed is like, okay, I want to do this so my voice is going to be heard, right? Like, as women in sports, we just want our voice to be heard. We want to share our stories. We want to do anything we can to, you know, share our knowledge and stuff like that. So I hope that we are just able to do that and interact with people and interact with each other and talk about the sport that we love, the team that we unfortunately love, and, you know, anything else that we really want to. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking, oh, I'm sorry, Al.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, like, I just wanted to vibe off of what Hannah said. Like, I think providing a safe space also, because oftentimes being a woman in sports, it doesn't always feel like the most hunky-dory place to be. And I feel really lucky to be at Southside Sox, where I do feel really respected and that my opinion matters and that, like, my word carries a lot. And so that is a really awesome place to be in. But I think just having a space where it's just us ladies, like, we don't need no men to talk about baseball. It can just be us. And that's awesome. And I hope to just, like, continue to grow the community of, you know, not only us, but hopefully, like, beyond us five, like, and hopefully we have more people on and just sharing our thoughts and getting more people involved and interested, because I think sometimes, like, things are more digestible too when they're coming from women. Like, you know, like, a woman might want to hear a woman talk about baseball. Who knew? Sorry, Tina.
No, you summed it up perfectly. You guys all did. Like, the fact that we're able to have this space, and then also just, like, inspiring others, kind of like Jackie said, like, when I first came to Southside Sox, I really thought that I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, like, freaking out, writing first article, and it was literally about, like, Moneyball, like, not serious at all. And, like, just getting confidence that you can also do that. Like, Janice and Celeste and Crystal had, like, the podcast, like, when I first started, like you had mentioned, and I loved watching them. Like, they had such good rapport, and I just think it's, like, a fun way to, you know, get, like, your baseball fix in a different way. Like, you're not just listening to a man on a podcast or on the radio or whatever. You're hearing it from us five beautiful ladies.
Yeah, awesome. Like, community building is, like, huge for me, especially as women. I feel like sometimes we struggle to build a community, like, just overall, you know? I mean, and so to me, like, having, like Ali said, the safe space and, like, knowing that we know what we're talking about, and, like, we're just everyday people too, just like, you know, just like you. And so to just welcome new faces in, and it would be really cool someday, like, yeah, we can, like, invite, like, I don't know, like, really important people into our space too. Like, it'll grow and it'll be like, oh, you know, I don't know, Nancy Faust, you want to come join us, you know, for a chat or whatever. Just, like,
wouldn't that be cool? I think
it would be just,
let's make it happen.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of like Twitter friends now, so maybe I can talk her.
I love that.
Yeah, she is, like, the sweetest person ever. So, but yeah, I think we have an amazing female community already at Southside Sox, that if we can share that with other people, like, just, I have never not felt supported once by, I mean, anybody in general, but especially I feel like women have problems supporting other women sometimes. And so I have never, ever felt that at Southside Sox that somebody hasn't had my back. And so I want to share that with other people. So that's my hope too. All right. So
this is so wholesome. I love it.
It is. We're I think as it goes on though, we're probably going to get a little, we'll get a little crazy too.
Yeah. We're not going to be as nice anymore.
Now what season's going on? We're going to be so mad from, like, a random Tuesday night loss with some guy that just blew the game. Nobody from AAA, AA probably at this point. And it's just going to be like, everybody's just mad and we're just going to be going off. Yes.
So let's, let's throw in the little White Sox baseball content now, because the Hannah threw this out in our Slack. So I thought this would be a good one to talk about. So what? How are we feeling, ladies, about Garrett Crochet and being the opening day starter? And
the collector <what a, laughs>
like, yeah, let's just dive in. Like, how are we feeling about that?
I thought so many thoughts.
Yeah, my first thought was like, WTF, kind of like that guy. He's never started. He also hasn't pitched in like 2 years, like in an MLB game. You know what I mean? So, but then it quickly changed to like, that it's cool. Like, I feel really good for him. Like, that's amazing opportunity. And like, he's been pitching amazing in spring training. Like, he really has been throwing really well. And so I guess it'll be really interesting to see, but it's my, I kind of just got to like the, like, screw it. Like, let's do it. Garrett Crochet is the opening pitcher. Let's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wasn't mad about it. I was just kind of like, why? Like, what?
Give why? Me why though?
Yeah. Like, why?
I just think, yeah. It, like, the day before, Pedro Grifol was like, I know who our starter's going to be, but I'm not telling you. And I was like, ooh. Okay. Like the next day, he's just ta-da, Garrett Crochet, jazz hands.
It wasn't Dylan Cease. It wasn't Jesse Schultens. It was a surprise third thing.
Yeah. Out, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He's hurt. I just threw
a name out there. It's a random name because that's what
that's what we have to do this year. It's like,
I was going to say, yeah. That kind of ties into like my point about Crochet. Like, you know, is he an opening day starter for real? That's where we're at. Yep. That's where we're at.
Yep.
So I'm trying to like refocus or shift my focus. Like, so we're not going to be good, right? So let's enjoy being fun bad. Let's be fun bad. I'm down with fun bad. Let's go.
Those are the vibes that we needed last year.
Yeah.
We were bad because
instead of having expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
But they were far less likable last year.
True.
Far less likable.
True.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah, I think I tweeted when I saw it. My first initial reaction was my tweet, which was all caps, huh? With a question mark. That's all I said about it. That's all I've said about it since then. I texted my dad. My dad was like, oh, we're having a bullpen game the first game. I was like, no, he's supposed to be like, you know, starting position. So yeah, he's not a bullpen arm anymore. But I'm just, I don't know, dude. I'm so like, I need to get back in the spirit. And props to the person who made his design was for the graphic was pretty cool.
It was very ethereal.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, okay, at least we got a good graphic designer. But yeah, I was kind of just like, huh? I was just like caught off guard. But I mean, he has been pitching great. So if you're gonna take from something from that, then I guess that's the best thing to take. It's not like he's been terrible. So just give it a shot, I guess, at this point. What do we have to lose at this point? I don't know.
Like, isn't he gonna
have about 100 games?
You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't get that. He's coming back from injury, so it's just like, is he gonna go more than like 2 or 3 innings because of that?
We have no idea, and that's the beauty of it.
True. I guess he could also give up like 5 runs in the first inning, and that answers the question for us. But like, yeah, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that he has a really great start.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, like I struggle because here's like the mom in me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, his dream has come true. Like, you know, his whole like life, right? He's like, I just want to be a starter, and he gets handed this opportunity. And so I'm like, that's just amazing. And then I'm like, White Sox, you are just so stupid. Like, are you setting this kid up to fail? Like, he has to be on a pitch limit, right? I mean, like, he has to be on an innings limit. Like, he, you know, had the Tommy John, and then he was injured anyway, like on top of that after he came back. And so, yeah, he's been healthy so far, and he's been doing great in spring. But now it's just like, okay, well, we're going to put the biggest spotlight that we possibly can on you. So let's take this extra pressure, you know, oh gosh, I hope you don't feel it or anything. Mm-hmm. And like, so I feel like they put a spotlight, a magnifying glass on him. And I don't know. I just don't know if it's like that really in his best interest.
So do you think that even he's like, wait, me? Are you sure you want to go with me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do it, but.
Right. And like, he's the long, I mean, of the people who we think are going to start, he's like the longest tenured White Sox. Now that Kopech's in the pen, it's just like, oh man. My gosh, I don't know. It makes my head hurt when I think about it.
Well, so, to get into that, I wanted to ask like you guys this question as well, because I've been mixed emotions about it too, but about the idea of Kopech going to the bullpen with the already short-staffed starting pitching staff that we have. Do we think that that's a good idea? Do we not care? Do we think that it's going to benefit him? Do we think, what the heck is everybody doing? I mean, I have mixed reviews on it. I don't really know. So I was just wondering what you guys think about it.
Before we pivot to Kopech, I pulled up Garrett Crochet's stats because I just find this interesting. Garrett Crochet has had 72 appearances in Major League Baseball. They've all been out of the bullpen. The last time he started was when he was at Tennessee and COVID shut him down in 2020. So the last full season of starting he had was in Tennessee in 2019, where he had a 4.02 ERA and a 5-3 record in 6 games started.
Eesh.
What?
Baseball's tough, though, I will say.
Eesh.
Right, true. Now, 4 ERA is kind of rough.
But that's, like, he has not started a baseball game since 2019.
They said, F it, we'll do it live. Like, we're just going to jump right in. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
So then to kind of connect that with what Hannah said about Kopech, like, I already feel like the White Sox screwed him up. Like, I just do. I feel it was just like, we want you to do this. We want you to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to. And so the kid who's, you know, been very open about his struggles to begin with, I don't feel like we've done him any favors. So then to turn around and kind of, it almost seems like we're doing the same thing to Crochet. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Gosh, it's almost like hiring people to do jobs that were part of an insular group who made mistakes is a bad idea.
I think so.
And Pedro Grifol, to Hannah's point, Pedro Grifol has not proven to me that he knows how to handle a bullpen correctly. So it almost doesn't matter, Hannah. It was going to be F from the beginning.
Yeah.
If he's going to move to the bullpen, leave him there.
Yeah.
I think the problem being, if they're going to do this whole, you're a starter, you're a bullpen player, you're a start. We can't do that. He needs to just be in one consistent role and be working in one consistent mindset, because like Melissa mentioned, he's been outspoken about his struggles with mental health, like competing at the highest level of the sport in which you're playing at, and then doing this rigmarole of back and forth cannot be good for the mental space. I would just imagine.
His interview, he sounded so deflated when the reporters were asking him about it. Like, it was almost like he was trying to fake that he was trying so hard to be positive, like, I'm going to do what the team needs me to do, but you could just hear it in his voice. Like, whether he feels like he let himself down or he let the team down or a mixture of both, it was just like, gosh, I don't know. My heart kind of broke for him when I heard that interview.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't tell him.
For him too. No, you're good. Like, go say what you were going to say.
No, I was just going to say, I just hope they don't pull a, like, okay, he's in the bullpen now, but then once, if somebody in the starting rotation gets injured, like, oh wait, Kopech, can you fill in for him? And then have him do that. And then when they come off the injured list or something, be like, okay, you're going back to the bullpen. Like you were saying, you can't keep moving him around. So if they made the decision that he's going to be a bullpen guy no matter what, but the pitching staff already being so short staffed, they might have to dip into their bullpen for starters if it gets to that point, or if somebody gets brought down from the, you know, the starting rotation. So I just hope that they don't mess around too much like that.
It's such a strange move now, I guess. Like, they should have done that last year, probably, like when we had more of a staff. You know, like, I guess we had Jesse Schultens and Davis Martin, but they're both, they were both injured, you know what I mean? So like, we were kind of already scraping the bottom of the barrel, but I just, like, I'm with you guys that they can't, now if they're going to put him back there, like, they can't bring him back as like a starter, because it's just like completely different situations. You have to try to like hype yourself up for coming in high leverage in the seventh or eighth inning versus like throwing the first few innings of the game. It's like, you know what I mean? It just takes you completely out of element if you're used to one. But I do think that he is going to be a strong bullpen arm. Like, on the contrary, I think that like he doesn't, like, he's kind of showed that he doesn't necessarily have the control to be like a long starter. Like, he gets to five innings, there's usually one inning where he has like four walks or like that one inning, you know what I mean? But he started so well for three. So I don't think it's maybe a strategically a bad move. I just think it's an interesting move now for all the reasons that you guys said, like, we don't have anybody already. And they sent back like some guys that are going to AAA. So it's like, okay, well, they're not coming up. So it's not, you know what I mean? So we're, or who is pitching?
I could see him being a good bridge guy. Like you said, yeah, you know, like, right, going two, three innings, and like, that mindset, yeah, you know, a little, you know, it's shifting. It's not as high leverage, but it's also not a starting mindset. You know, like, you're just there to maintain. But again, it's like all about control, because he struggles. So he throws so hard, but yet he can't control it. And so second it starts to get away from him, all hell breaks loose. And
It's like, he's dirty. Otherwise, he's like,
But correct me if I'm wrong, I seem to remember that most of his issues come in the first inning. Like, it takes him a little bit to find his control. So if you're going to be a bridge guy, better be fucking ready.
You make a valid point.
Yes, Jackie, you took the words right out of my mouth. And they were talking too about, I heard part of an interview where they were talking about him as a closer.
Yeah, I was looking that up, and I'm like,
talk about a totally, like, nothing he's ever done. At least he did pitch out of the bullpen for some significant amount of time, so he's familiar with that role. But then to even like have this buzz about talking, you know, about him being a closer, like, that's such a totally different mentality, and like the control issues. I'm like, what are we doing here, folks?
Like, you can't like be as a closer. Your most important job is getting that first out. And if you have control issues, the worst spot that you can be put in a closed game when you're trying to keep a one run lead is a leadoff walk, and then getting into trouble with that. And then the stolen base, like, I think he is a guy that like fires me up. He has a lot of emotion on the mound. So in that sense, he'd be an awesome closer. You know, he'd get everybody fired up. He'd come out with a lot of energy, you know, throwing out that last pitch for a strikeout to end the game. I know he'd be hyped, but we got to get there. I don't know. I think the closer situation is a whole nother story, because what, like, we traded our closer who was supposed to be the closer, and then it was like just nothing from there. So at this point, just going to wait and see.
Yeah. The moral of the story is that the White Sox coaching staff / front office needs to get onto one clear narrative and they need to roll with it. Like, even if you're piecemealing the team together and kind of you're going to be like puzzle piecing the season, most likely, there still needs to be strategy. There can still be strategy with a bunch of random dudes that you just threw on a team. But it's the lack of strategy, and then there's all of these blurbs coming out about all these different things. And I can only imagine, as a player in the clubhouse, hearing all of these different reports coming out. And how do you avoid, like, you can't, I just feel like you can't avoid the media when you're in a space like that, especially because they're coming in constantly interviewing you because they need to write their next story. So you're being hit left and right with a whole bunch of random questions. So can we debrief the players on, like, what's going on, or?
That'd be too easy.
I don't think they want to debrief the players on what's going on, because I think what's going on is that this team is a placeholder until we can, like, develop the guys that we've traded for. But no one really wants to say that. That doesn't look good on a sign. Fast looks good on a sign. That, you know, and but, you know, it's like Moira Rose said in Schitt's Creek, but like, every project has potential if you respect it. So like, I don't know. Maybe these guys would do better if they had a little more confidence. But I think everyone kind of knows what's going on.
Yeah, they're trying to hype us up for the 2024 AL Central Division Championship. But you know, I think a lot of people have made. I've seen this before. The comparison of this team and the gritty Cleveland Guardians. You know, they're not home run hitters. They're not. You know, power hitters, but they're fast. They have a lot of energy. They think that we can kind of be like that and still make it, you know, far into the season. Look, I don't have any opinions right now on what they're trying to say, because come on, let's be realistic on our 2024 team. Like, are we gonna win the AL Central, or are we gonna get 100 losses? So I don't know what
maybe
what,
both.
Yeah, honestly, at this rate, that could be a possibility.
But the difference between our team and the other AL Central teams, because Hannah, you bring up a good point. Like, the other teams in the AL Central are relatively young.
Yeah.
These are a bunch of random dudes that have been in MLB for multiple years. These aren't rookies we've been developing in the farm system. These are old people.
Yes. Not hate on Mike Moustakas.
They're old royals.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, get it right. First of all, we're rebranding. We're in the middle of a rebrand and rebuild.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Brad Keller. Don't forget Brad Keller.
Oh, God. But yet, like, back to kind of what Ali was saying about strategy, like, but we can't even like acknowledge that we're really in a rebuild either, you know? So to me, I would just much rather like just lay it out for me. Like, what is the plan? Because I still feel like I haven't heard the plan. I've heard the fast, I've seen the hype videos, but that doesn't tell me the plan. And I don't know why we're so resistant to talk about that, I guess, because we talked about it too much the last time and it exploded in our face. I don't
basically,
know.
Basically, yeah, because they know that they messed up what was supposed to be the best team that we'd seen from the Sox in a long time. And they don't want to, you know, people, Pedro and Chris Getz, they don't really want to admit that they messed that up for us, and they messed it up and the team fell apart and it didn't work. And instead they want to say like, okay, we're going to still be competing. Like, don't worry, we're still going to be competing with, like, some of the same players. You know, we still have Aloy, we still have Moncada. Who else at this point? Not really many people, but you know what I mean. And instead of disappointing us with we're in a rebuild and losing the fan base that they do have left that's already hanging on by a thread, they want to keep us in by saying, okay, we could possibly compete in this terrible division, or we're trying our best to basically not go back into a rebuild. And it's like, just be honest, you know?
I know, because as we've shown you, we're all smart. We all know, like, we're not buying it.
Yeah.
So I have a question, if you don't mind me posing one.
No, go for it.
So our expectations for the White Sox are on the floor. So who is, like, outside of the White Sox, who is your team to watch? Like, who within MLB are you super excited to see be successful this upcoming season?
Mariners. I love the Mariners. Mm-hmm. They're so young and exciting, and I love Julio Rodriguez.
Yes.
I like the Reds. I want to see more.
Yeah.
Cruz.
I wish Joey Votto was there still.
I know.
Bummer. Like, that would just make it so much better, because, like, Ellie is awesome. You know what I mean? Also, O'Neill Cruz on the Pirates. Mm-hmm. He's been monstrous. Never forget Sebi Zavala killed him.
I will be, yeah. I was going to say, I'll be curious to see how he bounces back after that devastating injury last season.
I agree. I remember that whole brawl. That was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy. I was like, but I think I'm also excited to see the Orioles, because I think they had a good representation of what a rebuild should be like and kind of what we hoped ours would turn into. And 100 wins last year was crazy. I know that they got, you know, they were young, obviously, you know, a World Series run wasn't going to be like in the cards, but I think that they're just getting better. They have so many prospects. It's like, how do you have this many like good people and you still got 100 wins and they weren't even in the MLB yet? I think they're going to be really scary for a long time. So I'm excited. And Baltimore is cool. We don't have any bad blood with Baltimore fans.
Yeah.
I have to watch Shohei Ohtani. I just do. Like, I just love that guy. Like, I just as a person. And like, I mean, I've been watching baseball for 45 years and there has just never been anyone like him. Ooh. Look at that. Woo!
My best Christmas present delivered yesterday.
Wow. Yes.
That's so fun.
That's beautiful, actually.
It's very crisp. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
And I have to say, my husband and I, not last summer, but the summer before that, we went to and did like a 10 days out in California and we went to the Dodger Stadium and it is an unbelievable place to watch a baseball game. Yeah. I mean, their sense of community there and like being an old ballpark and it was just amazing. And so I have to, I know it's very cliche. It's like, oh, that's where all the big money went and everything. But wherever he went is the team I would have wanted to follow. So I think, you know, he's just done so many awesome things for the sport, like bringing new people in that have to see this guy play baseball. So I'm watching him.
I agree that people are like Dodgers, but we do share Camelback Ranch with them. We have a little partnership going on with them. You know, I think one time they posted to vote for us, like our All-Stars, the Dodgers page did. And I think we did the same with them. I'm like, that's cool. Like, yeah, there's no reason to not support them. I know that it's like, oh my gosh, all the stars, they're a super team, but I don't know. They're cool with us. So
their players are cool. Like Mookie Betts is freaking cool. Freddie Freeman is cool.
They're likable. Yeah, they're rich and they're fancy and they're flashy, but they're likable. So
yeah, I'm jealous of them.
Yep, me too. Very.
My sneaky pick this year, I think that the Giants are doing something up in San Francisco. They have been quietly making some decent signings. So I'm going to be interested to see what they put together up there in the Bay.
Yeah. Just slipped Blake Snell right in there, like casually.
Yeah.
Truly. Which boggled my mind. Like, I don't know why I'm always, the Giants were good not that long ago. And I always seem to forget that, but also, I just a free agent signing to San Francisco just always sounds weird in my ear. Like, I've never really heard of that. They've always been kind of homegrown. Mm-hmm. And Blake Snell, that was a weird one. I heard
especially for how short of a contract it was. I thought it would be
I thought he was gonna go for a longer one and like not entertain a 1 or 2 year
deal. Yeah.
And here we are.
Supposedly the Yankees offered him $110 million back like earlier this winter, and on Sunday, like when the sweepstakes reopened, they did not throw their hat back in the ring.
That doesn't even make sense because that's what they need right now.
That
doesn't make sense at all.
Yep.
I feel like the White Sox could have made a similar offer. I'm just saying that.
They have money.
Jackie, anything over $100 million, you know they're not making that offer, so.
Anything over $80 million, they're not doing. Let's be real.
Pain.
Pipe dreams. Mm-hmm. We can have them. This stupid team. All right. Well, I think I want to throw out one more thing, just kind of talking about, you know, this being a ladies podcast and things like that. So as a woman, talking about baseball and sports in general, like what are you tired of being asked and like, what are you over having to talk about or be challenged with as a woman in this space?
I hate talking about baseball and then being hit with, oh my gosh, you really do know your stuff.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's not the comment you think you're, it is not the compliment that you think you're making ever.
Yeah.
It just, it really bothers me. And I feel like I hear it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's condescending.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel that like a lot of times women who are well informed on any kind of sport are kind of seen, I call them unicorns. Like they think we're like very special, but like we're not. There's a lot of us.
we know our stuff. We've been around. So I think I'm just tired of, just being second guessed. Like, I've seen so many bad takes, bad baseball takes on social media that fly by. And like, I was like, if I said that, oh my God, my DMs would blow up with all kinds of like insults. I just want to be taken seriously.
Yeah. I hate having to like prove yourself with like a bunch of knowledge or like some deep cuts and like stats or about a team or something, just so they're like, oh wow, yeah, we actually do know, you know what I mean? Or something before someone actually is like, okay, or like will back down, especially if they're arguing with you about something like super arbitrary or dumb and you know it's a bad take. Like, there was one time we were watching a game with people and this one dude was like saying that there was a four hitter up and this guy hit a home run earlier and it was a situation where there was like runners on first and second and no outs, and he's like, why are you not bunting here? And I'm like, looked at him and I was like, why the hell would you bunt with that guy, you know what I mean? And like, yeah, right. Offended that like I said that. I was like, why would you ever do that? First of all, it's a waste. Like, a bunt is a waste most of the time anyways, like, you know what I mean? And that kind of stuff. And then it's just so interesting how they like won't back down if they like make a statement, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't be right because you're a woman, like, you need to tone it down. So that guy told me he did no ball immediately, basically.
Yeah, like, yeah. The last time I really talked to a man that I didn't know well about it, the conversation ended up me being like, yeah, I'm a White Sox fan. And he literally quizzed me. And I was like, are we five? What are we doing? He quizzed me. Obviously, I got every answer right because he was literally asking, like, who was number 14? Like,
are you kidding me?
Like, and like laughing about it. I remember I was like at the bar. And this is what he's doing. He's talking about it. And I'm like, bro, like, I could name his whole, like, what? And then after, it went on for a literally a long time. And I was just like, are we done yet? And it's like, why did you genuinely just quiz me on if I knew my stuff? And then afterwards was like, dang, okay. And I said this, like, in the story, I was like, I don't want you to praise me for knowing my stuff because I'm a girl. Like, I told you beforehand I knew what I was talking about. Why did you feel the need to quiz me for your own validation when I told you already that I knew what I was talking about? Like, you just, like, I'm just gonna prove you wrong. And it's just dumb. And I just feel like a lot of the time they think that they get something from telling us that they think that we know our stuff. And it's like, the only thing I'm getting is annoyed. Like, I'm not getting, oh my God, thank you so much.
You're validating me. Yeah, because I need that.
Yeah, and that's just what makes me mad. Like, I just like talking to people that I know personally, like my dad and my dad's friends and people who take me seriously, knowing that they're not going to pull stuff like that. They just want to talk to me about baseball because they know that I know my stuff. And that's how it should be. It should not be this big thing where you feel the need, like, I could get into it. I mean, I have before, but it gets me heated because I feel like I've been dealing with that since I was like 12 years old, you know, like in middle school when I was playing baseball and when I was a diehard White Sox fan, you know, these little boys would come up to me and you know, feel the need to quiz me and stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, I probably know more than you, like stop. So I've just been dealing with it for like far too long. Like, that was like 10 years of my life with people and I'm just like over it.
It also doesn't make you want to talk about it. Like, it makes me want to keep these things close to my chest and not share it with other people, even though I'm dying to talk to other people about the weird things that I know. The other thing that I just like wanted to add too is, like, I know that four of us mentioned, like, we used to play softball, and oftentimes, like, I will say, like, oh, I played softball, and, like, that's kind of how, like, you know, like, I loved softball, and so I just, like, got into baseball, and, like, men will often be like, well, softball is just, like, not baseball, like, it's just so much easier, and, like, invalidate your playing experience as well as invalidating your baseball knowledge, because softball is just so much easier,
It's the girl sport, right? You played the girl version, so.
Mm-hmm. And you could probably say it better than most of them. And like,
I will concede that baseball and softball are different games. There's different strategies. There's different mechanics. There's, you know, anyway, no one in softball is going to have a big loopy swing trying to, you know, go for the fences. We don't have fucking time for that. We got to get to the, you know, so it is a different game. But like you said, Allie, that has nothing to do with my baseball knowledge. What makes you think that?
Right.
I always get frustrated by men who like then dig their heels in. So like, you know, I've been around people enough in my life. You know, you hear some guys and they're talking about sports and they're kind of going back and forth with their opinions. And they're like, oh yeah, I can see that. Oh yeah. But then when I've had conversations and like I've given my opinions, then it would be like, but what I'm saying is accurate. What I'm saying is the right way. What I'm saying is the way it should be done. Like, I don't see the give and take as much in a conversation between men and women about whether it's baseball or sports as much as I do between like dudes who are just like shooting the shit about it. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's always just been really annoying. Like, you know, you have to, in the end, have the last word and the last say that my opinion is right. Whereas if you're just talking with your buddies, you'd be like, oh yeah, no, I could see that. That makes a lot of sense. So that, yeah, that's something that's kind of frustrated me in my time being a sports person.
I've had to learn to bite my tongue in public because there are so many times where I'll be out and like two guys are casually having a conversation about baseball and everything they're saying is incorrect. There's been a couple of times where I've turned around and corrected them and they just don't want to engage in the conversation. Like, they just don't want to hear it. And so now I've learned that you can keep those opinions to yourself and just know that you're wrong.
That happens so often at games, like when you're in the game, like you hear some guys talking and you're so many times, like I will turn to my husband and be like, oh my God, why, you know, so yeah, let them have fun. If they don't question my fandom, I'm not going to question theirs.
Right. Right. There are definitely a lot of casual fans at games. You know, I'm the nerd that goes with my little score book and I'm keeping score and I'm, you know, writing all the stuff down. And then the people next to you, they're like not even getting the players' names right. You're just like, what are you doing here? It's an expensive place to be. Like, what are you doing?
Is it expensive?
Well, the tickets. Yeah, I know, right?
I don't know. I got a ticket last year for $1, but.
My son was very excited this year because he turned 18, so he could sign up for the student deals. He's like, "Yay, I'm old enough now. Maybe I can get the cheap tickets."
It might be more expensive with a student deal than like a StubHub ticket.
Yeah, somebody's trying to dump their season tickets that they're not going to.
All right. Day is expensive though.
We have been chatting for 50 minutes, ladies. So I think this is a good time to wrap it up. We have done, I think, an amazing first episode of just talking about a little bit of everything. White Sox baseball, being a woman in the circle. And I look forward to seeing where this whole podcast is going to take us. So until next time, I think we're going to try to do this twice a month and, so stay tuned everybody and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.